on to item number 7.
From the interim director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the 2011 Behavioral Health Division budget initiative to obtain Joint Commission accreditation by 2012. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Yes, this report is just an update on the activities that have been occurring at the Behavioral Health Division to apply for joint accreditation. We have been working with a consultant, and that consultant has been in twice. They conducted a mock survey, as they would do in the process of achieving a joint accreditation, and they've identified strengths as well as challenges for the Behavioral Health Division. I'm glad to report that I think in the initial exit conferences that I participated in, they really felt that we are in a much, much better position than we had even originally thought, and that it is hopeful that they will work with us up till the time of the application for joint accreditation. We will be coming back next month with a professional services contract to complete that, but the process is moving on, and Dr. Harding is here with me today, maybe to give you a little bit more insights into the types of things they've been doing, and if you have some specific questions, he can perhaps answer them for you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. We are working very diligently to reacquire Joint Commission accreditation. It is the current practice guideline standard for hospitals and healthcare organizations throughout the country. They accredit about 98% of all healthcare organizations. They used to be known as JCO, but as they began to accredit additional outside of hospital-based service entities, they took on TJC as the official name at this point. The decision was made in 2003 to forego resurvey, and that was based on a number of complicated concerns, but we are fully committed to reacquiring the accreditation that, again, really sets practice standards and guidelines. We have had the mock survey, and again, as our director has said, we were told we were surprisingly compliant given the 7 years that has elapsed since our last accreditation survey, especially around central event processes and many of the standards. But there are challenges. We've had 7 revisions of these manuals, which will guide our practice. These are the chapters for the hospitals. These are the chapters for healthcare organizations providing behavioral health care, including our outpatient clinics and CSPs, day treatment. So we're going to be accredited under 2 different sets of standards, which makes us, by Joint Commission guidelines, a complex organization, which is, I'm sure, a term you've thought of us many times over the years. But we are fully committed. We have chapters, teams that are working on our division of policies, rolling out the policies. We're starting with the assessment process. We are making progress pertinent to national patient safety goals, which have been promulgated by the Joint Commission, including med reconciliation, a number of other things with suicide assessment policies that will really bring us up to standards and to a higher practice level. And it is refreshing to have the energy around this, because I think everybody is committed to this process. We really see this as a way to make ourselves better. And both our director and our new administrator have very clearly stated that we don't just want the gold seal. We want to practice to the standards that everybody should hold us accountable for. So it's a good process, and it's creating a lot of energy, and it's really directing our QI initiatives for the coming year. If we can make application by the end of 2011, we then have 1 year to survey. Making application gets us an additional benefit in terms of access to Joint Commission resources, products and services, additional consulting services at reduced rate. So we'd really like to get that application in by the end of the year and then survey by the end of 2012. Because we're surveying as a new organization, even though we had previously had accreditation, it's lapsed for a period of time that puts us into the new survey process. We have to have 4 months of alleged compliance with all of the standards before we can invite them in, and so we're hoping to have that track record proven by 2012, the end of 2012.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Why would it take, you said you're going to put the application in by the end of 2011, why would it take you so long? Or is there a process you have to demonstrate something before you? Mm-hmm.
many of the challenges we're facing are in terms of limitations around acquiring electronic medical record systems and data tracking. We have to prove that we are tracking this data, and some of this is really, at this point, manually collated. We are doing audits on units and charts. Other hospitals have buttons that they can push to run these reports, and so for us it is a process that is going to take a little time. Plus, many of our policies, which have been revised over the years, haven't kept up with changing Joint Commission standards. We are a body accredited by CMS, and I'm a surveyor for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and it's kind of refreshing to go into other hospitals and tell them what they're doing wrong. But CMS, the last major revision of those standards was in 1988. It requires an act of Congress to change those standards. Why we're interested in Joint Commission is they're a much more fluid entity, really addressing current challenges to healthcare organizations. But we have 7 years to catch up on, and that's kind of the rub right now, really, making sure our policies and practices are at these current standards.
So you want to come to the 21st century?
We do. Very much so, yes. And we think our patients deserve that. And we really, the refreshing piece is our staff are seeing this as a challenge, but a very helpful challenge. Nobody is resisting this. They're all very enthused about it, and it's nice to have that energy back at BHD.
And do you foresee that you will be able to make that deadline?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's rolling up sleeves and really doing a lot of hard work and really being out in the milieu in the units. It's not just a practice of writing new policy. It's really making sure our staff competencies are assuring practice at those levels. But I think we're going to do it. I do. And there's so much energy around it and good nature around it that the staff really see this as something that will be very helpful to us in our patient care.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey?
I assume some of the standards apply to a facility as opposed to practices. And I'm going to try to ask questions with that division, if you will, because this board has been involved in discussions with regard to a new hospital. And I'm wondering what complications, if any, I suppose, are we going to create with regard to a new facility, and you're seeking the certification or recertification process. Could you talk about that a little bit?
I'm hoping I'm understanding the question and give you a good answer to that. We need the accreditation at this point. If we are operating under the same license, a new facility would be given a period of time where it would be given automatic accreditation, but then need to resurvey in terms of life safety code and physical plant issues. And you're correct, there are different standards promulgated regarding the physical plant versus the care provided within it. And we will be looking at that issue if a new hospital is provided. We are currently seeking no accreditation in the current facility. And it's important, especially in terms of reimbursements. A lot of insurers are not reimbursing non-accredited facilities.
And I appreciate that. Of course, I would assume a new hospital is going to be built up to standards, but perhaps that's an assumption I shouldn't make. But a recertification process is what we're doing a waste of time, if you will, or are we going to have some carryover here?
I don't believe it's a waste of time, and
absolutely.
Yes, you will have carryover, especially around the practice issues. Those will be brought forward into whatever facility in which we exist in the coming decade. The actual physical plant will be given, again, a automatic accreditation under the same hospital license number for a period of time. However, it's my understanding that they would come in and do a survey regarding the physical plant issues if we were to move into a new building.
Can I ask if you've ever been involved in certification of a new physical plant?
I have not.
I assume architects and all those good folks that build the facility talk to folks like you. I mean, is there?
There really is a whole science around life safety code issues, and that's not my expertise. And we have physical plant people, including Mr. Teachin, who's in the room, who do give coaching. Lynn Graham is our chapter champion for the life safety code issues, and so they are really, really being trained up on those standards and
is Mr. Teachin?
He's gone.
But I mean, would he have expertise? Does he get training in exactly what the facilities needs are?
Our own team, including Lynn Graham, have been to Joint Commission trainings according to life safety code. We have all engaged in training activities so that we begin to really have the expertise needed for the chapters we own.
And Alex just mentioned that we do have a contract with Zimmerman, which is the group that has expertise in the types of physical plants as it relates to hospitals and the codes of which Mr. Teagins has been working with, and they worked with exclusively when we were exploring the St. Mike's issue. And also the Joint Accreditation Group is working with Mr. Teagins in terms of what's being required. So I think our staff will certainly be versed in concert with Zimmerman to know what will be those standards with relationship to the physical plant. And I just wanted to add that, you know, we are also in the process of moving forward with the electronic medical records. That simultaneously will be very important as it relates to joint accreditation. And I think the other piece that it brings is some good data, benchmarking data, about how we're doing in relationship to other facilities that are providing a similar services regarding our practices, you know, what areas we have weaknesses, how we really stack up to what other facilities are doing. And that's certainly very relevant information for policy, you know, boards like yourself to know how we're doing as it relates to seclusion and restraints, to suicides, to individual types of situations, and it gives us good data about our best practices and standards. And I think it just can't be underscored how valuable it will be for us.
One of the requirements with Joint Commission accreditation is that you select a vendor to benchmark you against like organizations with data that we have to submit at regular intervals that gets analyzed and fed back. And so we'll get much better accounting of how we do measure. Mm-hmm. We're currently using a measure called the MISIP, which is a patient satisfaction survey, and we actually track pretty well against like organizations. But this will give us a depth of information that is just so necessary in managing this organization.
That's the facilities piece. And now I'd like to ask about the personnel, if you will, the nurses and those with, you know, special training and licenses. How specialized is their training with regard to the issue of accreditation and so on? Do they need to get special separate licensing, if you will, and please excuse my language, I'm a lay person in your field, but are there some special certifications, training, that kind of issue to get the kind of accreditation we're going after?
No, there is not. Although I know our new administrator stands very strongly for getting our nurses certified as specialist nurses in psychiatry, which is a nice title to have, but most of the training will actually be on the unit in what they call tracer activity, mm-hmm. Where tracer teams will be on the unit who really do kind of look at the standard vis-a-vis patient assessment. And sit with the nurse as he or she assesses the patient to be sure that we're really meeting the standards, and then use that as a training opportunity for the team. So a lot of it will really be kind of in a team format on the units where the care is being provided. And we'll be doing our own internal types of survey activity with training associated that will get the nurses and other practitioners up to the standards.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a certification or a licensing, but there is training involved.
Correct.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Any further comments or questions? I do have a card from Ms. Mary Fertel-Ruff.
Just if I may, and I'm trying to agree, I'm dispassionate, I know Dr. Harding. I recently was at the Mount House, and I just want to point out that while I was there, I did put a complaint in, and I did talk to the chief psychologist, a woman, about a woman in the observation ward who entered through the psychiatric crisis service, 85 years old, and called Supervisor Lipscomb on this, and also this. Peggy West, 70 to 85 years old, and she was put on the floor. She came in about 20 after 12, by quarter to one, and she came out with a walker about the height of Mrs. West. And she was put in on a mattress, face up, slats like this, and 4-point full leather restraints. I happened to observe, because I was leaving the next morning, I trained at the medical center. I'm a master's degree accredited social worker and practice. And I have the flip side of having been put out there any number of times involuntarily. So I want to just draw that to your attention. I don't know what happened in my, but I don't think the woman was sedated because she talked rather loudly from at least quarter to one. I will swear under oath, and I did at Senator Cole's office and at the Von Driesen Law Firm and the Foley Law Firm, and when I spoke to a marshal at the courthouse here, the federal courthouse. I've also drawn federal court. I'm in court against, in federal court against the Milwaukee County Mental Health Center in Madison on an involuntary pickup on the 4th of March of this year. When I was let go at the probable cause hearing, another one after that, I was again let go at the probable cause hearing. So, you know, just speaking from my experience, I've been those two incidents, let go at the probable cause hearing, does raise questions about, and those were on the, those were on 43C, about the quality of care there and whether you should even consider for 1 minute continuing that place. 1 minute. But now I'm coming back to this observation work, which happened after these two. Involuntary. It was a voluntary
Ms. Rust, we're discussing accreditation. Do you have something
yes,
to
yes, and I'm going
contribute?
To say that any place that calls itself a hospital, let alone a hospital for disturbed people or upset people or emotional people or people with, quote, mental problems or behavioral problems, who puts a woman 70 to 85 years old in 4-point full leather restraints, and she's there talking nonstop from quarter to one to at least 2 o'clock, and I can swear to this because I was awake, dressed, and watching. I mean, we closed the county hospital in Milwaukee for botched surgeries by residents and other things. How much will it take for you people to finally see the light and say, give this service to community hospitals? I don't even begin to talk about Dr. Harding's talking about psychiatrists and nursing staff. I don't hear a word about social workers who see the world completely different, who see problems to be solved, not labels. Now you'll come at me with money. Well, if you all are so worried about money, give it to the private sector. Please, for God's sake, I trained out there. I'm a professional person. I've been out there as a patient, and I'm telling you about 4 stays this year. Now, Mr. Mayo heard me when I came in after 1 stay talking about 2 older people fall down, and Peggy West cut me off. I'm not going to say anymore. I say to you, aren't you all for Rick? Do you need that money so much that you can't let these people go? I can't see that the private sector could do worse. And honestly, with all due respect for Mr. Harding, Dr. Harding, I can't see in conscience how he or Ms. Lede can sit in front of you and talk about going forward with this place that had the doctor that raped the patients and is getting $70,000 a year. Now you all know what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Ms. Rust. Is there any other comments or questions from committee? That concludes our agenda for this morning. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.